start with introductions. Let's start with the room.
Good evening. I'm Richard Shattuck from Central Kitsap.
I'm Alan Beam. I'm the chairman, and I'm from Central Kitsap. Now for the online.
Dave Leek, North Kitsap.
Good evening. Adrian Hampton, Central Kitsap.
Aaron Murphy, North Kitsap.
Okay. Tonight is a hybrid meeting. Please silence all electronic devices during the meeting. If you're attending in person, please refrain from talking to other attendees or the staff during the meeting. If you wish to provide general public comment or testify during the public hearing, we have four methods available. First, sign up in the back of the room if you're attending in person, and we will put you on a list. Second, for virtual attendees, raise your hand at the appropriate time using the raise hand button at the bottom of the Zoom window. Your name will be called and your microphone will be unmuted. Third, call-in attendees can signal by pressing *9 on the keypad. Your last four digits of your phone number will be called and you will be connected. You may dial *6 to unmute your phone. Fourth, written comments and testimony can be submitted to the staff. Email to cjcjewel@kitsap.gov by 2 p.m. the day prior to the meeting. Please include the date of the meeting that the comments are intended for, your name, the agenda item you want to address. The submitted comments will then be entered into the record at the appropriate time. For all speakers, please identify yourself with your name and the general area in which you live. Comments are normally limited to 2 minutes, but that's subject to the whims of the chair. First item would be adoption of the agenda.
I move we adopt the agenda as presented.
Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the agenda as written. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
So, second item on the agenda is adoption of the minutes from the previous meeting.
I move we adopt the minutes of February 18, 2025 as presented by staff.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the minutes as written for the February 18th meeting. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
I will be noted as an abstention for absence at the meeting.
Yes, sir. Meeting as written passes. This opens up the time frame for the first general period of public comments. Do we have anybody that wants to make comments at this time?
We have one person online.
Mr. Palmer.
Yes, I presume you can hear me.
Yes, sir.
I am commenting on the Silverdale Center plan. I have two basic comments. One, I think the design guideline update is a activity that I don't really think needs to be done, even though I know that the design guidelines in Silverdale that I've addressed before are really problematic. And every time the county updates the design guidelines, never bother to get an architect involved. They try to do it with other people. So I'm really opposed to design guidelines updates when they don't involve the right people. Secondarily, I think one of the problems with Silverdale and its ability to accommodate housing is nobody has ever really done a cost analysis of building up versus a dispersal type building. Every time you build up and you put parking underneath a part of the structure, you're like five times the cost of surface parking. If you could put it underneath the structure entirely, you're into 10 times the cost of surface parking. And those, adding those kind of costs to a building just doesn't make sense, not in Kitsap County. It may in downtown Seattle, but that has not ever been analyzed. And yet in 2016 or 2016, when the comprehensive plan then was being updated, I made that same comment. And in the intervening almost 10 years, nothing has been done. And that, if you're going to be serious about updating Silverdale Center plan, you need to address the increased cost of housing. And right now, rents in Silverdale are well over $2,000 a month. So I'm hard-pressed to believe there's any affordability for the median income household. I might have, I'll have plenty more to say later, but those are my two initial comments.
Thank you very much. Any comments from the room? Further comments online?
No, okay. Further comments online.
Okay, this will close the first general public participation session. That brings us to the Silverdale briefing. Is he here?
We actually first have the DCD director introduction.
I would like to welcome the director of Kitsap County DCD, Mr. Rafe Wyman.
Thanks. Thanks, Alan. Appreciate it. Thanks to all the Planning Commission members who are here today and those who are joining online. I've had a chance to meet a few of you individually, and that was a pleasure to sit down and get to know you a little bit better, and you guys can get to know me. I'm taking this opportunity. I'd like to meet each one of you individually eventually, but since I have this platform, just introduce you to myself a little bit. I started off my first life flying jets for the Navy. I spent 26 and a half years doing so. In January 1st, I retired. I enjoyed retirement for 5 days before I took over this job as the Director of Community Development. Why did this job interest me? When I was leaving the Navy, one of the two things I really enjoyed was leading large groups of people and process improvement type of stuff. And I had a lot of success in both of those arenas. And so when I first started looking for jobs, one of the big caveats was location. I love this area. My family loves this area. We weren't going to move. If I took a job somewhere far away from here, I would have been, as we call in the military, geo-bacheloring, which means I would have been a geographical bachelor. My family would have stayed, and I would have left, and that was a no-go for me. So I was looking for opportunities to kind of continue doing those stuff I love to do, lead and do process improvement in the local area. And the timing just so happened, this job popped up. I looked at it, was interested in it, applied, and the more I went through the application process and the interview process, I realized that this is the job I really wanted. I think there's the people in the department, what I've learned in the first couple months is just an incredible group of people in the department, but some things we can improve on. And we're working through some of those now, and I've got some ideas, and I plan to share with the commission probably at the next meeting, once I've had a chance to socialize this with my team, the priorities, short and long-term priorities I have, and I'd like your input on those as well. So I'll share with those priorities with you here in the near future. I also will have a mission, vision, and goal statement, but I'm waiting right now on the board for their mission and vision statement so that I can nest nicely under them. I'd hate to get out in front of them and then my mission and vision is completely opposite of where they want to go, so I'll wait for them to come up with theirs and then I'll nest nicely, but I've got some ideas on what that looks like already. I just want to make sure it nests with their mission and vision. So that's kind of a little bit about me. I'm open to questions if you have any, but once again, I look forward to the ones I haven't met one-on-one to sitting down with each one of you and getting to know each of you a little better, and giving you a chance to get to know me a little bit better as well. Thanks.
Questions?
We have Adrian Hampton online.
Thank you. Not a question, just a warm welcome, and thank you so much for serving in this critical role. We look forward to what the future has in store.
Thank you.
Other questions? Well, thank you very much. Thank you for coming. Next item on the agenda is Silverdale.
All right, thank you, commissioners. My name is Jim Rogers, and I'm a long-range planner with the DCD. Previously, before my DCD planning, I've been here for about 3 years. Before that, I was a traffic engineer or traffic planner over at Public Works for about 15 years. So I've been with the county for a little while, and recently in long-range planning. So I'm here with my supervisor, Colin Poff, and he will pick me up when I fumble. So I'd like to start out with, this is just a brief overview of the Silverdale Center plan. We're still developing the scope and schedule for that project right now, but wanted to get that out in front of you so you had a chance to comment on that scope and the schedule and make sure we're including the things that are important to you. So, if we could go to the next slide. I would just say that, you know, when we're looking at the agenda here for today, I want to do an overview of the regional centers. Oh, I'm sorry. I was supposed to advance the slide. Here we go. Let's try it now. There we go. All right. Too far. All right. Get this figured out. Why are we doing this? Basically to help the county meet GMA goals of increased density in urban areas, particularly our centers. We want to ensure that we maintain our center status with PSRC, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. We also want to update the design guidelines, which were last updated in 2008. One of the reasons we want to update those is the county's vision, we believe, may have changed between when it was last updated in 2006. It's been a long time since 2006. A lot has happened. We want to make sure that we go out and make sure that the design guidelines match the current vision and goals of the community. So we're going to start with visioning. We're going to look at a market study to help us with that, and again, look at the scope of work. And we have an RFP that we have finally selected a consultant for. We'll take a look at that. You've also had a chance to look at our community engagement plan, so we'd like to get some comments on that, and finally look at the scope and schedule, next steps. So The region has 30 regional growth centers, and by the region, I mean Puget Sound Regional Council. It's a four-county region, Pierce, Snohomish, King, and Kitsap. We are governed from between the Growth Management Act down to the Puget Sound Regional Council level, and then it comes down to the county level. And so we are responsible for planning to Vision 2050 and that regional growth strategy that PSRC has for our regional centers. Our centers are supposed to be a mix of uses like activities and with served by efficient transportation. We're also supposed to funnel at least 65% of our urban growth into urban centers. That's the ultimate goal there. And Kitsap County has two growth centers, one in Bremerton and one in Silverdale, obviously, and then a manufacturing and industrial center also in Bremerton. The current rules require that PSRC allow each county to have at least two centers, regional growth centers, that is. We do have two, so historically we have not had any trouble maintaining our center status, but going forward, if should another jurisdiction like Paulsboro or Port Orchard decide to create a center, then we would be in competition with them should we not be able to meet the center criteria. And so one of the things we hope to do with this study is to justify the center's existence and going forward. We want to work with PSRC and Public Works, obviously, with this one. We're going to complete that market study and submit for a recertification report. One of the issues with maintaining our center status is that we receive a lot of federal funding through PSRC to the tune of about $2.5 million a year, and that's just for transportation dollars. If we lose our center status, then we potentially lose that money for those road projects that are underway and those that are planned. So taking a quick look at our center status compared to the PSRC criteria. If we look at the compact walkable shape of the area, it should be generally round or square, not linear or have a lot of tentacles sticking out like some places do. We do meet that criteria. Looking at the existing density, we look at what PSRC has this thing called activity units that they talk about when looking at density. Now, an activity unit is either a job or it's a person that lives in the center. So if you combine all the jobs in the center and all the people that live in the center, total that up, divide it by your total number of acres, and that gives you your activity units per acre calculation. We should be at least 18 activity units. We're currently at about 15.8. We've been trying to make adjustments to that, but we need a good plan to either get us there and get us beyond that, because the planned density is 45 activity units per acre. So that's quite a bit down the road from where we are now. Got a long ways to go to get there. We did make a lot of planning updates in the current comprehensive plan that we just adopted in December. We increased removed density limits in the center and increased densities in other areas in the center like urban medium. And so we're hoping that gets us there. We're still doing some calculations to see if that planned density will get us there. I believe it will. Does that meet the vision of the people that live there and the people that work there? So we want to take a look at our vision, make sure that we can get to where we need to go to achieve that 45 activity units per acre at some point in the future. Let's see, looking at the planned mix of residential employment, residents to employment, You're supposed to have a 15% minimum of each. We currently have a 20% residential. The rest is employment in the area, so we do meet that criteria. Looking at the center size, the maximum size should be about 640 acres. We're currently over at 717. That's not over by as much as it might seem. When we first incorporated, or when we first had our center designated by PSRC, it was over 1,000 acres. We've since whittled it down in past comp plans, down around 800 or 850. And now this time we've whittled it down even more to about 717. We had a couple of areas that we actually added to the center this time. And if I go back just a slide or so here, I think I can show you where that was. So if you're familiar with Kitsap Transit's new bus station, it's across from the highway, just to the left of Wagga Way there. What we did was we added the neighborhood just to the south and southwest of that transit station. It's an older neighborhood with large lots, sparsely developed, and it's the housing in there is very old, and kind of, we felt like it was ripe for redevelopment. And being so close to the center, we were hoping that it will redevelop at higher densities. So we upgraded that from urban low zoning to urban medium to help that as well. The other area that we added was the Old Town area. And we added the Old Town because there's a desire to possibly have a transit or a ferry service coming in there and serving Silverdale and other areas around the county. So it, from a transportation funding side of things, if we can have that ferry service directly serving the center, that's a benefit to that potential project. So that's why we added those two areas. So in the end, we're still over the 640, but not by too much, comparatively speaking. Other centers in the region are much larger than that. So I don't think PSRC is too critical on that particular criteria. Yes, sir.
Yes. So, Jim, when we talk about the criteria, you know, when I hear criteria, it means, you know, you hear the benchmarks. Not smaller than this, not bigger than this.
Yeah.
And so what I hear is, they're really criteria. They're more like things to shoot for. Or are we looking at having to downzone part of what we just upzoned, you know, 3 months ago?
Well, they're guidelines. They're not obviously not super strict because they haven't been a problem yet. And other centers in the region are over size, so it's obviously not super critical, but it's something that they're looking at. And if we have to compete with another center, we don't want to give them any ammunition, right? So we want to be as close to with those guidelines as possible. And we're like I said, we're just a little over. We have made improvements going that direction. And if we need to make further improvements going forward, when PSRC looks at our recertification request, we can address it then. Was there another question? We'll wait for the other question. What's next here? Existing and planned fixed route transit service. So the goal is to have 15-minute service, 16 hours a day. Kitsap Transit has currently 30-minute service at best in Silverdale. What they did do is create a new circulator route with our new comp plan. And they have also acknowledged that they would like to increase service as demand is increased there. So they do have that plan with the new transit center to increase the frequency of that internal circulator route. Market potential. So here's where the market study comes in. We towards the end of last year, as part of the comprehensive plan. We kicked off a market study early on this project because we need to get that underway and completed by the end of May, because our center recertification application is due at the end of May. And so we need to include a market study for that. So that market study is currently underway right now. We're currently reviewing the draft existing conditions for that report right now, so it's not quite ready for public review. But we are planning to bring that to you on April 15th and give you a full overview of what that market study result is.
Hey, Jim, we've got a question from Commissioner Murphy online.
Sure.
Yeah, just curious, in your 717 acres, if you could go back to the outline of the regional center. Just curious if the trails was ever in here or if it was removed, as I think about the density of both the apartments and the amount of retail. When you're shooting for goals about combinations of people and jobs,
yep.
Why would the trails and the 300 apartments to the north of them not be in that footprint? And if they're not, what happens to bus transportation in the area?
Yeah, that's we had hoped that that type of development would come to, you know, the downtown center, but it hasn't, obviously in the past. And the reason we didn't expand over in that area, there's a couple of good reasons, but the highway is one of them. If you have to get on the highway or cross the highway to get from one part of the center to another, that's a pretty big barrier, and it's also reduces the walkability of your center. Your center, like I said, should be largely round or square in shape. And not linear and hard to walk to and from different places. And that also would have increased the size of our center even more. Like I said, we're trying to shrink that and get it as close to the criteria as possible. Does that help?
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm.
All right, so a clear regional role. We do have a clear regional role, and we're planning in support of that growth. The center is a primary destination for medical and retail services, and we are hoping to also make it a place where people live close to where they work. So, again, we'll be bringing the draft market study to you on April 15th. I believe we're already on the calendar. And hopefully that will help answer some of those market demand questions. Taking a quick look at the draft existing conditions, just a couple of snippets from the draft report that we're reviewing right now. This study is being done by Eco Northwest. They are the consultants working on this. Going to be looking at community demographics, so population growth, shifting demographics, the demand for healthcare services, things like that. Market analysis, looking at multifamily housing, retail, and again the medical office and healthcare uses. Also looking at a land use analysis, looking at vacant and underutilized land and older commercial buildings and how likely they might be to redevelop, and looking at publicly owned lands and what they might be used for as far as public services going forward. So the purpose is to address the economic conditions and market potential of the center to support our growth goals. Vacancy rates currently are low at about 3% for retail space. It's one of the trends there. And we note that Silverdale rents for retail rents is at about $17 per square foot. holding steady with the rest of the county. And let's see, we're holding interviews. Our Eco Northwest folks are holding interviews with local developers, Kitsap Mall, Kitsap Economic Development Alliance, and other movers and shakers in Silverdale as part of this study. Also looking at, like I mentioned, underutilized parcels and publicly owned parcels. Like I said, we're, amongst other things, looking at those different land uses and how they might be used better in the future to help us get where we need to go. Looking at Silverdale's vision, and this is the vision I said we sounds like might could use an update. Silverdale's Regional Center, the current vision is that the center will transform into a vibrant, sustainable, and balanced mixed-use urban community, providing essential services for housing and job opportunities while preserving the character of existing neighborhoods and shaping new dynamic districts. A strong emphasis on connectivity will integrate multimodal transportation, linking the waterfront, parks, tree-lined streets, and shared urban spaces. By prioritizing walkability, biking, and transit, Silverdale will foster an active and accessible community. Investing in infrastructure and infill development will strengthen the waterfront's identity, highlight Old Town and Dyes Inlet, and showcase Silverdale's stunning natural surroundings. Through thoughtful planning, Silverdale will evolve into a premier waterfront city, rich in culture, commerce, and community life without sacrificing its unique charm and vitality. Like I said, a lot has happened in the last 20 years, and so we need to go back to the community and have a robust visioning exercise to make sure that this is still accurate. One comment that we got from a CKC member last year was that, you know, when it comes to preserving the existing character of neighborhoods, what are we really trying to preserve? What's nice enough to preserve, I guess, was the question. So if you exclude Old Town, you might find might be hard pressed to find an area that would be worth preserving that look and feel, the character. So the plan and design guidelines will reflect the current needs and desires of the community after the visioning process. Looking at a little bit at the scope of work for the center plan, like I said, we're going to update the community vision. It was last updated in 2006. Refine the community's goals and policies if needed. Add some granularity and specifics with action items and projects. Those action items are what's going to allow us to create an implementation plan so that this plan doesn't just sit on the shelf and collect dust, but that we actually get some things done because we'll have action items. And we're also going to use that to look to for our annual monitoring, and we have a five-year report back to the state and PSRC on the progress that we're making. And if we're not making progress on advancing Silverdale's goals and population densities, then we're supposed to go back to the drawing table, make some changes, and see what we can do to get us there. We're going to identify multimodal transportation needs to be addressed with future development, and look at mapping some major projects for like a main street developments, parks, civic centers, gathering spaces, and such. In looking at the Silverdale design standards, the intent is to update and codify the design standards to reflect the new community vision. Standards and diagrams for parking and landscaping and block frontage improvements will be created. We're going to identify options for redevelopment code to be used for constrained parcels, and consolidate the design districts for better continuity and clarity. We currently have 9 design districts in Silverdale, 7 of which are in the center itself. And so we'd like to get that down to maybe 3 or something like that if we can. So it's something we want to look at just to make it a little bit more continuous and for clarity for development. Some examples of the deliverables, update the sub-area plan concepts, look at nodes or centers within the community, look at street typologies and street sections, identify multimodal improvements and public investments, look at standards for block frontages, landscaping, open space, building frontage, parking, etc., and redevelopment code framework and wayfinding framework. Some of the major projects might be public parks, centers, gathering spaces, things like that. So looking at the proposals that we got 5 good proposals for this project to help us out. We selected Burke. They are going to be working with Seth Harry, who has done a lot of work in urban design, and also working with Parametrics. Parametrics, if you'll remember, did the Silverdale Transportation Implementation Strategy in 2018, so they are more than familiar with the area. Burke helped us with the 2016 comp plan and the subarea plan last time it was written, so they are also familiar with Silverdale. So we are currently working on the scope of work for that. So if you have any comments on this scope that we can use to refine their scope of work in the next few days, that would be a huge benefit to us. Looking a little bit at our community engagement plan, hopefully you've had an opportunity to look through that. But we're going to use that to foster positive engagement, gather community feedback, understand the impacts of this planning effort, and hopefully make meaningful decisions for the community. CKCC is putting together a subcommittee. Those members represent the Port of Silverdale, the Senior Center, the high school, emergency services, business owners, developers, and nonprofits. And we're going to be doing some workshops and interviews with the community at large. We'll be interviewing students, the development community, economic development community, social services, and utility providers. And just a brief look at the schedule. We are kind of getting a late start getting this program off the ground. Our original adoption date was to be the end of the year in December, but since we're getting kind of a late start, we're hoping to extend that, and as long as we have a final product by the end of the year, we'll be in good shape, and then we can just go through the adoption process, hopefully, in the first 3 months of the year. So we should have Burke under contract soon, hopefully in the next week or two. We'd like to have an additional 3 months to make sure we have a quality product at the end of the year and not rush to get it done, because it takes about 3 months to go through the adoption process after we get a draft document completed here. So anyway, we're hoping to get that done within a 12-month period. And I guess that's about the end of my presentation, and hopefully you've got some questions or comments or things that, about the scope of work that we can take back with us.
Great. Jim, you kind of suggested throughout your presentation that, you know, we only have 2 centers in Kitsap County.
Right.
And that, you know, we need to get certified and be able to compete with other potential centers. Do we have rumblings that Paulsbo wants to make Ohava one of the two centers, or is there somebody out there that...
Nothing but a rumor at this point. Okay. So we will know when those applications come in. At the end of May is when those applications are supposed to come in to PSRC, and then I guess we'll have an idea of who, if anyone, might be looking to create an additional center in Kitsap County.
Okay, and then in terms of an application by Kitsap County for Silverdale by the end of May, you know, we're saying we're going to get that in, but we're not going to be done with this until December.
Right. So the application is due at the end of May, and that's why we need the market study to justify our application. But the Puget Sound Regional Council will not make a decision on the recertification until the end of the year. So as long as we can get our planning done before the end of the year, we can get that in there to help support this application. Good question. Thank you.
Other questions?
We have Planning Commissioner Hampton online.
Great. Thank you so much, Jim, for the comprehensive presentation. I really appreciate it. I have a few comments and ideas on scope. I have about four actually total, so maybe I'll start with two, pass it over to David, and we can circle back. One thing that stood out to me, thank you for outlining the robust community engagement process that you all have planned. One idea that I think would be really great is to engage with the Silverdale Community Church. So that church is right in the middle of Silverdale and does a great service to this county. It hosts one of Kitsap's severe weather shelters, in which I volunteered with this season and past seasons. And so that the church is open like 6 p.m. till 7 in the morning during some of our coldest, harsh weather days. And the church and other volunteers that participate through Kitsap County Department of Emergency Management do a great job, and I think it would be really, really great to have their input in this design, just thinking about what type of like safeguards and other types of things should we be thinking about to support our unhoused population in the Silverdale area. So when you're talking about gathering spaces and other areas for social cohesion, I think it'd be really great to have them on board and hear their feedback. And then along the lines of subpopulations, thank you for pointing out the engagement with students. I think that is so, so exciting. And from some past experience, just another idea, one really great way to get students involved is have them kind of go out into the field and like take photos of what they think you know, they want to see improved, or maybe they want to see something in this area or over here. So it's kind of like a photojournalism type tale, and it's like just a really great way to get youth involved. So just another idea. I'll pause there and pass it over to David.
Sure. Thank you for that. What was the name of that church again?
It's the Silverdale Community Church. Okay. So I'm sure if you connected with Housing and Human Services Division or DEM, Department of Emergency Management, they could connect you with the volunteers who support the severe weather shelter in Silverdale.
Great. Is that the church there on the corner of Kitsap Mall Boulevard and Silverdale Way?
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
I thought so. Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, and on the student field trip idea, I think that's a great idea. We did have plans to, as part of our visioning process, to do maybe some walkthroughs or drive around the city with some of those people that we're interviewing and the CKCC as well. So I think it'd be a great idea to do that with students as well. Thank you.
Hi, Jim. Yes, I have several like Adrian does, so I may circle back to again. Okay. Thanks for that presentation. I believe you had a comment about Old Town maybe revisioning, and it seemed, I guess I would personally like to say that I think Old Town's kind of cool.
Yep.
And so I think I would hate to see Silverdale or the county have a lost opportunity to kind of break up that feel too much, because I think it could be a really funky, popular destination for people to hang out. I could see restaurants, maybe But I would hope that you, the height standards and such, I'm not familiar with the Silverdale design districts. I don't know what it is, but I personally really like the feel of that area. And I think it has a really great opportunity. I think it's very walkable. It could be very walkable. And I don't know. I just think that's.
Yeah, I would just add that. I would just add that the Old Town area is one place in Silverdale where we did not increase the height limits.
Okay, great.
Because everybody likes Old Town. So I doubt that the vision for Old Town is going to change much. But, when we're thinking about the vision for the community, it doesn't have to be a vision that is everywhere the same for every place. You know, it can be a different vision for one side of Clear Creek and different vision for the other, for example, and a different vision, obviously, for Old Town. So, yes, thank you.
Great. And then a couple other comments that I hope I can kind of just bring together. You know, when I just do spend a lot of time in Silverdale shopping and such, I don't see a lot of trees, and I see a lot of vast, huge parking lots. And I feel like in today's era, I mean, it's hard to think about it right now in this cool kind of wet weather that we're having, but in the years to come, it's going to get warmer, it's going to get drier, we're going to have more people. I'd love to see some really great visioning with regards to creating the density, but also creating spaces for trees and maybe even deep paving some areas, or I mean, just these vast parking lots just seem like, I don't know. It just seems like, in a way, if I owned a huge mall area or whatever, I'd want to try to make it look a little bit more, I don't know, welcoming, and not just this huge parking lot. So I'd love to see a lot more tree plantings of trees that are going to be successful. I don't know. I'm just thinking about that, just as far as creating anything you can do to cool the environment and use less concrete. But I love the idea of the density. I just see a lot of areas that I feel like could be more additional affordable housing or market rate housing. I don't know if that comes to having to rezone areas, but I'm kind of going on and on with this. But I guess what I'm saying is I'd love to see those areas of parking lots turned into something much more interesting.
Yeah, we do have a lot of underutilized parking in the area, so that certainly opens that up for possibilities. We have also have some new tree code, and as things redevelop, we'll hopefully be adding some tree canopy to the area as that happens. Thank you for the comment.
Aaron, do you have some comments?
Yeah, I'd let Adrian finish. I'd like to hear what else she had, and then I can hop in.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Aaron. I'll be brief. David, I couldn't agree more, and just to piggyback off of that, the way I'm looking at it is, like, how can we essentially avoid a, like, environmental justice issue where we might, you know, build more housing, attract more people to an area, but by doing so, we might have a higher density of travel or cars that are traveling to that area, introducing air pollution, fine particulates, right? I even think about the large, like, trucks and other kind of semi vehicles that are coming to that area to, like, you know, restock shops and grocery and that kind of thing. So just thinking about the air quality in that area, I think, should be a major consideration, and how that also relates to climate. I mean, really, those kind of domains of planning that touch health are integral to Vision 50. And so I would love to see that integrated in the kind of comments, basically more comments on scope, right, for Burke and these other consultants to be thinking about. I would also agree that, like, vegetation is also important for things like stormwater runoff, just to make sure that the more we introduce, the more that we are protecting our environment from. And so just making sure that we continue to uphold that balance. And then the other thing I just wanted to highlight Vision 50, but I'm also thinking about how this plan integrates with Vision Zero. So I'm thinking about traffic safety, pedestrian safety, and the prevention of, conflicts with cars and, you know, kind of injury prevention and that kind of work. And so I personally have biked from downtown Bremerton all the way to Silverdale for a doctor's appointment, and it wasn't easy, I'll tell you that. So I think just thinking about how we can keep that area to get there safe from a multimodal transportation lens is one that I look forward to hearing more about. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Great comment. We do have some new guidelines and policies in our comp plan regarding climate change and that type of thing. We're also working really hard, especially in this plan, to provide the kinds of facilities that would make this a more walkable, bikeable community, not just reliant on cars, but also, you know, relying on transit, walking and biking. And so one of the big questions is, how do we make it more walkable? One of those might be to help maybe break up some of the super blocks so that there's easier access to other areas from a walkability standpoint. And also, I don't know if you are familiar with the 2018 Silverdale Transportation Implementation Strategy. It recommended some potential pedestrian corridors that cut through, like from the hospital district to the high school area, for example. And so we'll be looking at how we could incorporate that as the Silverdale redevelops over time to help with that walkability. And good comment. Thank you.
Aaron?
Yeah, all I was going to add, having just kind of come out of the comp plan here in the last, you know, 6 or 8 months, is you guys have a lot of needles to thread. And there are people that are much better at keeping all of that holistic thought process in mind than us, as far as, you know, having urban planning degrees and trying to consider all the above. I assume that probably when we look at these heights, we'll always also be looking at everything from green roofs to, you know, pedestrian park level spaces on the tops of maybe some of the taller residential design solutions as it comes to considering open space. But at the same time, I know from having designed plenty of multifamily and other types of development projects that we're always reverse engineering from the parking stall count related to the occupant load of the buildings. And the only way you're going to make progress on less asphalt is to require less parking. And then obviously you have to have that multimodal option. Everything from frequency of bus to bike lanes to pedestrian lanes. And so those street sections will really help define whether or not this ends up successful or not, right? If there are 8-foot paths, 5-foot planning strips, and another, right, and that's a part of that street section, then we're offering it to all. And as our population ages, and we will soon, around 2030, have more 65-year-olds than 18-year-olds for the first time in history, I think we have to consider all of those things related to good aging-in-place communities where there are multi-modes and not 2 cars per household. And, you know, that's big-picture thinking and it's vision thinking, but I do want to remind everybody that if a pro forma does not pencil, you do not get anything built, and therefore you don't end up with the tax dollars associated. And so, like I said, there's a huge amount of things to consider. These are difficult lines to thread and needles to thread in the context of the future of any of our urban growth type areas. So appreciate you taking it on. It's not easy. And I hope that, like we did with the Planning Commission, that you take the public feedback to heart and that that goes into actual design solutions with all that thought in place. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely. Great comments. There are a lot of moving parts in this. Working with our transportation providers to provide Complete Streets is one of those efforts. We're also looking at affordable housing incentives, things like that, to help make this happen. And to make it a more walkable 24/7 community, we do need those added green spaces and make it and to make it a pleasant place to walk and be at night, not just from 9 to 5. So thank you for the comments. I appreciate it.
Other comments? Jim, I think you've got a great start at this whole thing. I really like your concepts of public participation. Get them actively involved in this.
Yep.
Because you've got a huge area to address with a lot of complex issues. Mr. Palmer mentioned affordability and densities and cost analysis. I assume those get worked into this program someplace.
Yeah, and I can double check that that our consultants are looking at. I know they're looking at multifamily and how that might pencil out at what levels, what design concepts, and also looking at mixed use. I can make sure that they look at the option of the parking issue, you know, that to see if there's another way to make it pencil out better. But we do need to increase the densities in the area. So
that's affordability is a big issue.
One of those challenges. And affordability is huge. We are required now by the state to provide or at least incentivize and hopefully provide affordable housing for not just the 100% AMI, but lower levels as well. So that's our intent. We are working with the legislature even to come up with, to eliminate a loophole that doesn't allow us to use the NFTE tax incentive. So hopefully that comes through, and hopefully that can be an incentive to get some of that affordable housing built as well. So any other ideas for incentives? Our consultants are interviewing developers in the area as we speak, and will be for a little while now. And if they've got incentive ideas that they can put forward in this market study, then we'll certainly take a look at those and incorporate as many as possible.
In Silverdale, we had a huge discussion a couple months back about Strawberry Creek and how you can make that an area of interest. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what you can come up with, how you restore that area. Any other comments? Hearing none, we'll close out this session of the meeting and open it to Mr. Paul for admin code edits.
Good evening, Colin Poff, Long Range Planner. That was a very interesting discussion, so thanks to the Planning Commission for your feedback on the Silverdale plan. We're really looking forward to kicking that project off here in the next couple of weeks. I just have 5 minutes on the agenda today, and really the purpose is just to give a preview of what we're going to bring in 2 weeks at the next Planning Commission meeting, really. So I don't have a briefing necessarily on this project, but I do want to describe what it is, so the Planning Commission is aware. And there's another topic on the agenda in 2 weeks about housing requirements in Kitsap County, just kind of an educational topic. So I was going to mention that as well. So in 2 weeks, we're talking about administrative code edits. This is something that we have done before in 2022 that we hope to do on an annual basis. And what these are really meant to be are administrative code edits also could be clarifying, housekeeping, those types of things, code cleanup type of work. So they're really not intended to be substantive in nature or, invite a significant amount of concern with them. And if they do, they might fall off our list. And so that's what we're going to bring. And we have about a dozen of them at this point. And we do keep a running list of things that, the code is always in need of improvement, so we do keep a list, and we want to keep irons in the fire with some of those things. So some examples of what is a administrative code update or a housekeeping code update. It could be an update to one of our definitions that needs clarity. It could be something that is has an incorrect reference and needs to be corrected or out of date. It could be codifying a director's interpretation, so our code or those director's interpretations, at least formal director's interpretations, are supposed to be in code. So that could be one or two of those. Another example would be adding something to our allowed use table that was supposed to be there but fell off for some reason. So, for example, we noticed in our last comp plan update that there's a lot of discussion about drinking establishments in Kingston, and it was supposed to be in our use table but fell off at the end with all the other things that were going on. So that's one of those that we're discussing. And so, I just wanted to bring that to the attention of the Planning Commission, and it's meant to really be a briefing on what those items are. We're also going to discuss what the next steps could be, which would be to potentially schedule our hearing after that briefing along with the work study, but we'd want to work with the Planning Commission to make sure that that works with the topic at hand. So any questions on that? Yeah.
One of the things we saw right at the end of the comp plan process was an effort to amend the BLA or to establish a BLA mm-hmm. ordinance. And the definitional changes for BLAs was substantive. It wasn't just to clarify. Are we going to see anything on BLAs in this next?
No, it wouldn't be on this list. And it's a good example because if with in discussions with Planning Commission, something that we think is clarifying or something that's simple turns out to be not as simple as we intended, that would be good to know. And then we'd potentially work it out, or it could just fall off the list and we'd have to take it on with another project. Yeah.
Other questions, comments? Thank you very much.
Okay. And just real quick, just for a minute, also on the agenda, we've talked with the Planning Commission before about bringing forward topics at times that aren't necessarily, you know, the top of our work plan, like Silverdale Subarea Plan or Year of the Rural, just to have some back and forth. So we like to hear from the Planning Commission sometimes about what those topics could be. One thing that we talked about at great length with the comp plan update was our housing targets, but there are some new Planning Commission members that might benefit from having some discussion about that before. Again, it does touch on some other related issues that are important to talk about, like our growth targets and our housing targets and the relationship to the Growth Management Act, Puget Sound Regional Council Vision 2050, countywide planning policies, those kind of things. And so more or less an informal presentation, but I want to put together maybe some talking points about that and some of the work that we did in 2024, why we did it, what do we have to do now going forward now that we've adopted the plan. You know, look forward to getting some questions on that. But yeah, just want to reiterate that at times it's good to have to revisit topics, I guess, that aren't like on our pressing on our work plan, but just things that we should be revisiting with the Planning Commission. That'd be one of them.
Wonderful. And I'm sure we can come up with a list. One of the ones that comes up to mind right now is the comp plan mm-hmm. is being challenged by 3, 4, 6, I don't know how many challenges are out there.
Just three.
It'd be interesting to get some feedback of what those challenges were and what's going on.
Specifically the appeal items or just the challenges that were?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but it relates a bit to our housing targets, so specifically we could touch on that. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
We have Planning Commissioner Hampton online.
Thank you. I was just sorry to chime in. Just a reminder to the commission for some of us new folks, if we could use plain language. So, for example, BLA, I'm not exactly sure what that stands for, and I don't want to make assumptions. So I know there's a lot of acronyms, but if we could spell those out, that'd be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Sure. Just for information, it's a boundary line adjustment process.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you.
With that, we open our second period of general public comments. Do we have any public comments?
We have, we've got somebody in person.
Wonderful.
Got it. All right. I want to say thank you for the work you're doing in Silverdale. There are so many resources there that are incredibly important, and making that community more accessible is a really great effort. I did want to point out here that Silverdale has a walk score of 14 currently out of 100, and I also just quickly looked at a satellite view on Google Maps of Silverdale, and somewhere between a third and maybe a half of the total area of Silverdale appears to be parking lots. I know it's been said kind of beaten to death here by a few people, but it is, if you're looking to make Silverdale a more walkable place and looking to triple the density from 15 units to 45, eliminating a lot of parking is going to be hugely important. I mean, it's not just to utilize the space more, but if I want to walk, I've always found Silverdale to be profoundly unwalkable. And if you want to walk anywhere in Silverdale right now, you're having to traverse up to a quarter to a half mile of parking lot just to get to the next building. So I just wanted to put that out there and let the, yes, sir.
We need to know who you are.
Oh, I'm David Rose. I work for the Navy. I'm in the Army National Guard. And I live in Bremerton.
Thank you. Right. Thank you for your comments, and thank you for coming.
Thank you.
We have Marla Powers online.
Hello, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. I just had a couple of, my name is Marla Powers. I am staff for the Port Gamble Skolem Tribe, and I just had a couple ideas. For the Silverdale sub-area plan kind of scope, the idea would be to add a focus for recreation and restoration opportunities. I saw that Clear Creek was identified, and there's some view corridors to the water that are called out, and that I would be happy to work with you or to be part of the participant list to add a tribal perspective on how to rebuild those essential habitats in the natural realm. And then my second idea to offer for incentives for builders would be to design and construct regional facilities that help developers. Those two items are stormwater facilities and parking. If you can do those on the public realm, then they really make the private realm pencil really well. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any final comments for the good of the order? Hearing none, I officially call this meeting adjourned. Thank you for coming.
Thanks, everybody. Good conversation.